for now, and we're going to start our class. Okay, so does anybody know the theme of this body of Christians for the year?
All in.
All right, so we're going to be occasionally having lessons on the topic of being all in. And this all-in theme, there's really it kind of takes us in two different directions. It takes us in the direction of all of us in together. So we'll talk about relationships in the church. It's also taken the direction of us individually as disciples of Jesus being all in for Jesus. And tonight's is the second. Okay? So we're going to take a trip into the Old Testament to learn about being all in. Oh, yes, in the Old Testament. Absolutely. So we're going to talk about this seemingly obscure topic, which actually is all over the New Testament, but most of us don't even notice it. So we're going to talk about the burnt offering and the drink offering. I kid you not. That's our topic tonight. All right, I don't know if you can read that. It's awfully small. I need to change that. But what it is, it's kind of a list of the sacrificial system. And in the Old Testament, again, I'm digging into the weeds a little bit here. In the Old Testament, you had offerings and sacrifices. If you go in Hebrews 8, it says the priest's job was to give offerings and sacrifices. What's that about? What's the difference between an offering and a sacrifice? It can be a little confusing because sometimes even the Old Testament calls the offering sacrifices, but don't worry about that. So the offerings were things that people gave. All right, and those things are equivalent to things that we do as New Testament Christians, as is shown by the verses that are up there on the screen that you can't read, and the ones I'm going to be reading tonight. And these were sweet-smelling offerings. So when people gave these, God was pleased. It just encouraged God. And these offerings had nothing to do with sin. They had to do with worshiping God and being in fellowship with God. Got it? And then, also, there are the blood sacrifices. Those were usually offered outside the camp, and they were a stench in God's face. The guilt offering and the sin offering. The guilt offering being for sins against each other. The sin offering being for offenses against God. But that's not what we're going to talk about, because we do not make sin offerings, and we do not make guilt offerings. Who makes sin and guilt offerings? Jesus, all right? So we're not going to talk about that tonight, because Jesus is all in. We're going to talk a little bit about Jesus being all in, but I think you kind of got that Jesus is all in. Given the way he died, I think you probably are in touch with the fact that Jesus is all in. All right? There's actually five sweet-smelling sacrifice, four from here. Burnt offering, grain offering, drink offering, and fellowship offering. And we're going to talk burnt and drink. Okay, got it? So there they are. The burnt offering, ola in Hebrew. The grain offering, mincha, Leviticus 2. The drink offering in Leviticus 23. The fellowship offering in Leviticus 3. All right, great. So let's talk about the burnt offering. The burnt offering. All right, you find it in Leviticus 1:13. It says, take a burnt offering, an offering made by fire, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. Leviticus 1:13. So what God said is, he says, bring a valued possession, bring it to me, and then we burn it to ashes. So if you burn it to ashes, how much is left? It's all in. You know the story about the chicken and the pig, the whole thing with the sacrifice, you know. The pig is all in. The chicken makes a contribution, but the pig is all in. You know what I'm saying? All right, and so what they would do is, what they were to bring was depend. A more wealthy person would bring a bull. A sort of middle-class person would bring a sheep or a goat, and a poor person would bring like a pigeon or a bird or something like that. All right? And basically, then what they would do is they would come in, they would lay their hand on that animal and give it to the priest. All right, so what is that about? right? And by the way, it's interesting because when they did the burnt offering, what the priest would do is they would cut the head off, they would wash the body inside and out, but they didn't wash the head, and then they burnt them. And there's a symbolic meaning here, because what is the head? Or who is the head? Jesus. Who is the body? Us. So why didn't they wash the head? Because Jesus doesn't need to be purified in order to make a burnt offering. Why do they wash the body? Because we need to be purified in order to give a burnt offering. So there's some pretty cool symbolism that I believe probably the Jews didn't even get, even though they've been doing it for 1,500 years. So let's go to Ephesians 1, 22 through 23, and we're going to make a connection to the New Testament. Paul especially, but the other New Testament writers as well, use the language of the burnt offering, the grain offering, the fellowship offering, the sin offering, the guilt offering, all these offerings. And if you understand these, you can actually figure out which one's being discussed. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. So what is the burnt offering about? It's about offering our lives to God. It's about, by the way, it was voluntary. The Jews did not have to give a burnt offering. It turns out they had to give a grain offering, but they were not required to give a burnt offering. The burnt offering was voluntary. So they're saying, I just want to give this to God, and I'm going to have it burned up. Okay, Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. All right. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now, he gave himself up as a fragrant offering. So would that be the guilt offering? No. Would that be the sin offering? No. Paul's referring to the burnt offering. Jesus gave his life. He gave his death for us, but he also gave his life for us. And it was a voluntary thing. It was a fragrant offering. He gave himself as a sacrifice while he was still alive. And I want to ask you a question. How much did Jesus hold back? Nothing. At the end of his life, he had, how much did he have in the bank? Zero. All right? He gave everything. And that was his act of worship. In fact, let's go to Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Because I want to talk about where the New Testament asks us to make a burnt offering. And you got to get the image in your mind of bringing this animal forward, laying your hand on that animal, giving it over to the priest, and then just burning it. By the way, when they made other offerings, such as the grain offering and the fellowship offering, they actually had a meal. They burned up a little bit, and they had a meal. They had a party. With the burnt offering, there was no party, because there's nothing left to eat. Okay, Romans 12, 1 and 2. So the main scripture I want to have you have in mind for the burnt offering is going to be Romans 12, 1 and 2. I'm telling you right now, that is what Paul is talking about, and his Jewish audience got it. I guarantee you that. Romans 12, 1 and 2. This is a pretty familiar passage to a lot of us. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a dead sacrifice. No, as a living sacrifice. Got it? Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, that is your true and proper worship. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So what God is asking us, he's not commanding us, I believe. He's asking us to present our bodies as living sacrifices. Why should we do that? Well, he tells us why in Romans 12, verse 1. Somebody? Why should we offer our bodies as living sacrifices, Romans 12, 1? Because of God's mercy. How many people here has God had mercy on? Raise your hand if God has had mercy on you. All right? I thought so. So what does God want you to do? He wants you to offer your body as a living sacrifice. He wants you to be all in. And the thing is, this we do not in order to be saved. You got that? This is a voluntary offering. But you know what? It is your spiritual worship. That's what we offer. An offering is something you're offering. You got that? And I believe that if we offer our bodies as living sacrifices, that will be a very satisfying life, because that's what God wants from us. Philippians 1, 20 through 22. Here Paul is, again, probably, in the case of Romans 12, 1 and 2, I am quite confident he's talking about the burnt offering. I have little doubt. Philippians 1, 20 through 22, almost certainly as well, maybe not quite as absolutely definite. All right, here we go. Philippians 1, 20 through 22 says, I have no one else like him, he's talking about Timothy, who will show genuine concern for your welfare, for everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proven himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope therefore to send him as soon as I see how things go. Do I have the wrong path? Oh, no. Oh, Philippians 1. There were a lot. It was 20 through 20. There's all those twos in there. It's just all those twos. That's my excuse. Okay. That's a great passage, but had absolutely nothing to do with the burnt offering. Okay. Here we go. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted. How? In my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He says, if I'm to go on living in this body, it will mean fruitful labor for me, yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Paul says, as long as I'm in the body, I'm going to present my body as a living sacrifice. So what is the focus of your life? All right, sometimes we have lessons that are challenging, sometimes lessons that are informative, sometimes lessons that are encouraging. This is one of those challenge lessons. But the cool thing is, you don't have to. You don't have to. I mean, if you've repented of your sins and been baptized into Christ, you know, you're saved. But what is God asking you and I to do? He's asking us to be all in. He's asking us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Are you taking things the world thinks you ought to reserve for yourself and building it up into your little, maybe not actual bank account, money bank account, your sort of life bank account? Or are you going all in? You know, I haven't heard a lot about people going off into the mission field lately. Wouldn't that be a great way to present your body as a living sacrifice? Would be to go on a mission. You know, in our fellowship 30 or 40 years ago, that was something that was assumed to be, yeah, of course. One time I was at a worship in Ho Chi Minh City in Saigon, and they were going to be planting a church, a sister church, sort of up the coast, maybe 3 or 4 hours away from Saigon. And so they called a meeting, and they said, anybody who's interested in basically quitting your job, packing up and moving to this other city, leaving everything behind, please come to this meeting. 3/4 of the church showed up to that meeting. If we were to do that with the Bakersfield Church of Christ, how many would show up to that meeting? Jan would. Now, by the way, that church was something like 80% single, all right? So, all right, parents with little kids in school, you know, you're not joining the mission team next year. And besides, you don't have to. But I'm telling you, Jesus wants you to present your body as a living sacrifice. All right. So what are you going to bring as your living sacrifice? Okay. Now, I'm not going to talk about the grain offering. I'm going to sort of mention a little bit about it. One of the reasons I'm going to mention a little bit about it is that the drink offering was generally poured on top of the grain offering. The grain offering was not voluntary, okay? And it was the tithe, essentially. So whatever they produced by their physical labor, and almost always it was physical labor, 10% of that they were to take and to bring as a grain offering. All right, and I think Blaine, speaking of grain, Blaine was, kind of suggesting that we ought to be involved in doing that. All right. In fact, that one is not voluntary. Now, the 10% is not specifically commanded. Wait, I said I wasn't going to talk about the grain offering. So never mind. I won't talk about it. Okay. But that's not voluntary. Giving of your financial gain to the church is not voluntary. It is in that you don't have to do it, but if you don't do it, you are in sin. And you are in rebellion against God. I'm just telling you that right now. Okay? At least if we use the Old Testament as an analogy, great. So, but anyway, I talked about that because I want to show the connection between the grain offering and the drink offering. All right? For us, 10% is not mandatory, blah, blah, blah. Okay, great. The drink offering, nisek. Oh, it says X. That's Exodus 29:41. You can read about the drink offering if you're taking notes. Joelle's taking notes. See? Look at her. All right. This is just for Joelle. The rest of you can... I'm just kidding. All right. Exodus, it's going to be at my website. In fact, the PowerPoint and the notes are already at my website, all right? Exodus 29:41, Leviticus 23:13, Leviticus 23:37, Numbers 28:31. And of the four times it mentions the drink offering, three of those it says, pour it on top of your grain offering. Okay, but the drink offering, like the burnt offering, was voluntary. You didn't have to give it. You can read those scriptures and others and you'll see that. Okay. So usually then, what it was done, it was poured. By the way, when I've done this lesson a few times, what I've done, and I did this for our Bible talk a little while ago, is what I've done is I bring a glass of water with food coloring. All right. And then what I do is I just, I actually kind of forgot to bring the glass of water, but it's not our church building and, red stains, that's uncool. So I didn't do it, but I just want you to imagine this. Imagine taking something that you value. Just imagine that, taking something you really, really value and think of it as in sort of symbolically or metaphorically as the water in this glass. And then you just go, when kids are eating, the stuff ends up all over the place, right? Right? When kids are eating, do your kids still do a high chair kind of thing? No, they're out of the high chair. All right. Now, the kid does this with a piece of meat and, I don't like, maybe you don't. You just pick it up and put it back. Do you pick it up and put it? Maybe not. All right. The point is, solid stuff, if you pour it out, it's still there. But I'm telling you, you take something, you take some milk, you take some wine, you take some water, you go like that, you're not ever getting it back. That's what God wants you to do with your life. He wants you to present your body as a living sacrifice, as one metaphor. But another metaphor for all in is the drink offering, nisek, which is to let yourself be poured out. All right, guess who made the most famous burnt offering? That was Jesus. Jesus gave his life as an offering, as well as his death as a sacrifice. But Jesus also made a drink offering, Mark 14:24. And if you read the language and if you know a little bit about Old Testament sacrifices, you'll recognize which one is being talked about. All right, this is a verse I'm guessing probably many of you have heard maybe even dozens of times. Mark 14:24. All right. It says, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." He said to them, "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it in the kingdom of God." So he talks about his blood being poured out. And there's a number of places where Jesus described himself as being poured out. Isaiah 53, verse 12. There's another one. Isaiah 53, verse 12. All right. You see it. Pouring out our life in the altar, usually poured on the grain offering. We give our tithe, but God wants much more. He wants us to be all in. Okay, great. Isaiah 53, verse 12. Another reference to Jesus giving, I believe anyway, it's a reference to Jesus giving a drink offering. Isaiah 53, verse 12, where it says, yes, "Therefore I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors." Jesus poured himself out for you and for me. Just again, just imagine taking that glass of wine or something like that. Jesus looked at his life and he poured it out. That's what God wants us to do. And again, light with the burnt offering, you don't have to. I hope you want to. I hope, in view of God's mercy, you'll present your body as a living sacrifice and that you'll be willing to be poured out for Him. All right. 1 Timothy 1:14. So Jesus poured Himself out. Guess who else poured Himself out? The Father did. 1 Timothy 1:14. It says here, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. God took His grace and He just poured it out. You know, God poured Himself out in another way. Titus 3, verse 5 and 6. Titus 3, verse 5 and 6. That's just like four pages over. It's easy to find. Titus 3, 5 and 6. Where it says, "He saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously." Jesus took the Holy Spirit, metaphorically, right? And He just poured it out. Jesus, God, the Father, poured Himself out. Philippians 2:17. Paul poured himself out. And if you know much about Paul, you probably would agree that that's a reasonable description. Philippians 2:17. Now, you have to understand that Paul is in jail. He's in prison. And he doesn't know. Remember, we read earlier, right? Whether I depart from the body or not, I don't know. But if you were in a prison, probably to be executed, that would be kind of realistic for you, don't you think? I think so. So he says here, "But even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering." What offering is he referring to in this passage? The drink offering. He's talking about the drink offering. So Paul's thinking of his life. He's sitting there in prison. He's saying, "I'm being poured out like a drink offering. And when it gets poured out, there's not going to be anything left." That's what he said. "Even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you." He's creating the picture. Basically, their sacrifice and service is kind of like the grain offering. He says, "And I'm being poured out on top of your sacrifice and service." And he says, "I am glad and rejoice with all of you." And I believe that if we let ourselves be poured out, we will be glad and we will rejoice. Under the circumstances of Paul, I don't know. If I was sitting there in prison, I don't know. That's pretty tough. I think I've mentioned before that When I was in Nigeria a few years ago, there's the problem of being kidnapped. So they had a guy with a machine gun with me the whole time so that I wouldn't get kidnapped. But, you know, I thought about it. I thought, you know what? If I get kidnapped for Christ, that would actually be sort of cool. I mean, that would encourage some people. People back home would say, wow, that guy, man, he poured himself out. And by the way, I'm not kidding. I'm not joking. I mean it. Now, if I had little kids still at home and all that kind of stuff, and you know, and I hadn't actually worked enough for Jen to even know how to, you know, how she'd carry on without financially, maybe not. But, you know, I was old enough, I could actually. That was kind of encouraging that I could maybe in some small way relate, in some small way relate to what Paul's doing here. I like 2 Timothy 4, 6 and 7 even better. So Paul, when he thought of his life, he thought about Nisek. He thought about the drink offering. Pouring himself out. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 and 7. He says, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering." Now, a lot of commentators believe that Paul did actually get out of prison. So, you know, the thing in Jerusalem and then the Malta, all that, and he ends up in prison in Rome. A lot of people believe that he actually was able to get released from that. He went to Spain. Then when he came back to Rome a second time, he was arrested again. And this time he was actually executed. So it's possible that Philippians was the first time. But this is the one where within days, weeks, maybe months of him writing this letter, he was killed. That's almost for certain. Anyway, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering. The time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there's in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also on all who have longed for his appearing." Paul's looking back at his life. He was probably around 60 years old. And he's looking back and he says, "My life's been poured out." He's sitting there in prison, soon to be executed. But he recognized that his life had made a difference. You know, Paul earlier had said, "I'm the worst of sinners," right? And because he recognized God's grace, he poured himself out. And that's the thing that God wants us to do. I'm proud of my wife, Jan, because she's a person who I believe on a daily basis pours her life out. I know how tired she is at the end of the day. I'm sure some of you are really, really tired at the end of the day also. But I know most directly about my wife, Jan. And at the end of the day, she's just flat out falling asleep because she pours herself out. There's very little left in the cup at the end of the day. And that's a good thing. Philippians 2, 5 through 8, kind of going back to what Jesus did. "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." What are some of the ways we can pour ourselves out? I want us to think about that. And I believe that as a Christian, you see that as a good thing. But it's also a little scary. The people around you, the people in your neighborhood, the people in your classroom, they're not exactly pouring themselves out, at least certainly not most of them. And, you know, the tendency is to feel like, well, if I give too much, what will I have left? Well, what Jesus had left is, verse 9, "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place." God will exalt you. So how you personally make a burnt offering for Jesus? How will you personally make a drink offering to Jesus? Remember the metaphor of being poured out. All right, so I kept that lesson fairly short because I want us to spend some time discussing these two questions. All right? Yeah, wow, we normally go till 8. I'm ending early. That's okay. We'll have some good, solid discussion. Two questions. And by the way, feel free to just leave right now if this is like a little bit too intense. Just kidding. I'm sure nobody's going to do that. But honestly, we're going to discuss some pretty intense things, I think, in our little discussion groups. So can you think of a practical way you can present your life as a burnt offering? Number one. Number two, can you think of a practical way you can give your life as a drink offering? And I admit, probably the two are similar enough. It might be hard to make an exact, firm distinction between giving your life and then pouring yourself out. But that's what we're going to discuss. So let's finish with a prayer. And we'll break up into groups of 3, 4, or 5, whatever you choose. And we'll talk for about 10 to 15 minutes, and then we'll be done for the evening. Okay? God, thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for Jesus. God, it's in view of His mercy that we intend to give our lives as a burnt offering. And God, when you burn something up, there's not a whole lot left. And at the end of Jesus' life, there just wasn't a whole lot left. He only made it to about 33 or 35. Father, I pray that we would consider and ponder that metaphor of being poured out. That we would pour out our energy, our heart, our minds. The greatest commandment is to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. And to me, that's kind of what being poured out is all about. I'm thankful that although you commanded we make a grain offering, you asked that we make a burnt offering and a drink offering. Because the things we give voluntarily, those are the ones that really satisfy. Those are the ones that fulfill. And God, we offer those things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so if you don't mind, let's break up into groups of between 3 and 5. If you got 2 or 6, I won't call you out on it, but all right.